Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Dr. DeWitt, and this is the Brain Builders Podcast. Welcome. I wanted to start out with last time we were talking about the APOE4 marker, genetic marker for your risk of Alzheimer's. And there's a great website you can go to called APOE4.info, I-N-F-O, and they are a group of individuals. I believe there's over 800 people in that group now or on that website, and they have all the information you could ever want to know about APOE4 and a lot of great information regarding the RECODE protocol. So today we're going to talk about the 35 indicators. There's actually more than that I talked about or I mentioned, and the indicators that you could have a higher lifetime risk of cognitive decline. Now, I'm going to go through these. Next time, we're going to talk about the different labs that you need to have done and what your goal numbers should be, because we're shooting for optimal numbers. We're not just trying to get in the bare minimum normal range. We want to get in optimal levels, so we'll talk about that next time. So the very first thing that you need to know that could increase, it all depends. All these are either going to be high or low, and these are things you just need to pay attention to that could increase your risk. Your homocysteine levels, and you probably aren't going to know what all these are, but we'll talk about them next time. Your vitamin B6, B12, and folate levels, which is folic acid. If you're insulin resistant, that's going to be an issue, and that can lead to type 1.5 Alzheimer's, where you have the insulin resistance. If you have inflammation and that's going to be related to different C-reactive proteins and things like that, see if you have chronic inflammation, which is what causes type 1 Alzheimer's. Vitamin D3 is critical. We've got to get out in the sun. We've just been inside in the little cubicles and working at our computers and watching TV way too much. If you recall last time, sitting is the new smoking, so we have to get outside in the sun for at least 20 minutes a day. That's vitamin D3. You need to know your hormonal status. Now, this is going to be specifically your thyroid hormone because you want to make sure that it's in the proper levels, that you're going to have to check a variety of different things related to thyroid hormone, but we'll talk about that next time. Also need to know your estrogen and progesterone levels. Your testosterone, even for ladies, you need to know what your testosterone levels are, your total testosterone and your free testosterone. Your cortisol, pregnenolone, and DHEA, that's a really long word, but DHEA, you need to know that level. Metal detection, not only heavy metals, but you also need to know what your copper levels are and your zinc levels, to know what your copper-zinc ratio is, because there's an optimal level for that. You need to know your red blood cell magnesium. You need to know your selenium and glutathione levels. And as I briefly mentioned just a second ago, you also need to know, or you need to be aware of the fact that certain foods can increase the heavy metals in your system. And it's not just mercury, but it's lead, arsenic, and cadmium. And we'll talk about the different labs you need for that in the next show. But you can get those high levels of mercury if you're eating the high mercury fish, the tuna, the swordfish, the shark. You need to avoid that. You need to eat the smash fish, which is the salmon, the mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring, the smaller fish. Those are the smash fish. If you have sleep and sleep apnea, that could increase your lifetime risk of having Alzheimer's or other cognitive issues. You need to know what your cholesterol and other lipid levels are. And just I love this. You need to be aware that your total cholesterol needs to be over 150. Your total cholesterol over 150, not under, but over. Because all of the different hormones in the body are made of cholesterol, so it's important to have the cholesterol levels. Statin drugs are one of the worst things. And that's also on this list. If you're taking statin drugs, you need to see about slowly weaning yourself off of those. Vitamin E. and vitamin B1 and gastrointestinal permeability. This is really interesting because if you have a leaky gut, we touched on it briefly before, but that means that larger proteins such as gluten can get into your system and cause a lot of systemic inflammation and just a lot of issues. And there's a specific test that we'll talk about next time that'll actually help reveal if you do have a leaky gut or not. Because people always talk about, and you know, we do this in the office as well, we say, oh, well, if you've got a leaky gut, you need to make sure you're doing your probiotics and your prebiotics. The key is you have to look at the gut kind of like a fishbowl. So if you have a fishbowl that's got holes in it, you're not going to put fish and all that stuff in there. You want to clean it first, make sure it's nice and solid. There's no holes in it. So that's your stomach, your gut. You want to make sure it's a nice, clean fishbowl. And then you want to put the probiotics in there, which are the fish, and the prebiotics. That's actually the food for the probiotics. But before you put the prebiotics or the probiotics in there, you need to make sure that your gut is healthy and not leaky. So there's a specific test for that. Also, the blood-brain barrier, because you can have a leaky blood-brain barrier as well, and that is something you do not want to have. Gluten sensitivity and other food sensitivities, that's going to be related to a leaky gut. And if you do have that, you are at a higher lifetime risk of getting Alzheimer's. Autoantibodies, that's, for example, Lyme disease. You want to make sure that you do not... If you do have that, you're going to have a higher risk of Alzheimer's. Now, toxins, if you have any of the molds that we talked about, there's specific bacteria and viruses, that can lead to type 3 Alzheimer's. And also, if you have CSRS, which is chronic inflammatory response syndrome, that is something else that can be tested for, and that increases your risk of long-term cognitive issues. You need to know your mitochondrial function, and the only way you really can know about that is make sure you're not exposed to any mitochondria damaging agents. You need to know your body mass index, your BMI. It's interesting because that's kind of a bit controversial because I personally, my BMI I'm considered obese, and I am nowhere near obese, but it's because I exercise so much and I played football for so many years. I have a lot more muscle mass, so that makes me a little heavier. And so anyway, you want to have a good BMI. If your waistline is over 35 inches if you're a woman and over 40 inches if you're a man, you have a higher risk of Alzheimer's and long-term cognitive dysfunction. Your genetics, we talked about that last time. You need to know your APOE status. And it's really interesting because I literally have been going through this process and am just like, hey, my dad is suffering with this right now. So I need to know what my APOE4 status is. So I just sent out 23andMe has a health and ancestry item that you can select, and they will send you the packet, and then you send some saliva back, and then unfortunately it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get your results back. And ironically, I'll be in the middle of the Brain Builders web class that I'm starting on September 7th. Registration is still open, by the way, at bit.ly/brainbuilders. It's a free class. It's in this first beta group. And everybody gets a complimentary cognitive assessment from the Cambridge Brain Sciences Institute, which is going to be kind of neat to track your progress. So I need to know, and I'll find out right in the middle of the class, what my APOE4 status is. You also need to know, get your baseline cognitive performance. You need to have quantitative neuropsychological testing done, which is what we're going to be doing in the web class on September 7th. And it's specific to each particular condition that you might have. If you have a concussion, there's specific tests you need to do. Alzheimer's specific tests you need to do. So this class is going to be for everybody that has any kind of brain trauma, is concerned of any long-term functional issues. So that's really important. Imaging, you need to know cerebrospinal fluid, electrophysiology, brain MRIs, things like that, to see if there's any atrophy or smaller areas of the brain. And this was the part that I thought was the most interesting, the historical and lifetime or lifestyle considerations. These are things that you really don't have a lot of control over, but they could still increase your risk of getting Alzheimer's and long-term cognitive dysfunction. If you suffered head trauma, okay, well, I played 24 years total of football since the sixth grade, so yeah, that's a little bit of head trauma there, so that puts me at risk. General anesthesia, if you've ever had surgery, ever had your wisdom teeth pulled, ever had your appendix taken out, things like that, that increases your risk of long-term cognitive issues. If you have mercury amalgams in your mouth, you need to go to a good clinic. We have a clinic in Tijuana called American Biodental. They're a really great group of guys, and they will take out your mercury amalgams, and they do like an IV vitamin C deal for you to really make sure you're getting all the antioxidants that you need. If you're eating the high mercury fish, like I mentioned before, if you do eat salmon, I know it is one of the smash fish, but make sure it is wild salmon for sure. You don't want any of the farmed fish. If you're taking certain medications, I briefly touched on that a minute ago, the Valium, antidepressants, blood pressure pills, statin drugs, proton pump inhibitors, or antihistamines. I know that's all a huge amount of people are taking at least one, if not more, of those medications. So if you're taking those, just know it increases your risk of getting Alzheimer's later in life. Obviously, if you've ever used street drugs. So if you're, I'll just leave that alone. If you drink alcohol, and how much alcohol do you drink it? And they talk about in the book, you can drink one glass of wine maybe a couple times a week, and that's okay. But you need to be careful with that. If you smoke cigarettes, super toxic, and that can cause a lot of long-term cognitive effects. If you had bad oral hygiene, if you're not brushing your teeth every night, you can do oil pulling, which is really good to help get rid of the bacteria in your mouth. Use some coconut oil and swishing around your mouth for about 5 minutes. This was surprising. If you have any surgical implants of any kind, we're talking artificial hips, breast implants, these kind of things, that puts you, you have that, but then you also had the anesthesia during that, hopefully. And so that's going to increase your risk. If you have liver, kidney, lung, or heart disease, that's going to increase your risk. If you snore, which basically means you probably have sleep apnea, that's a major issue. If you eat foods high in trans fats or simple carbohydrates, if you like French fries, oh my goodness, that's there. Yeah, that is not good. You don't want to eat. You just got to find another option for that. If you have chronic sinus problems, because the nasal sinus area, that they found a lot of infections because that's really close to the brain. If you have chronic sinus problems, then there's a chance that you're going to get some issues with bacteria, which would lead to the toxic type of Alzheimer's, which is type 3. If you have any kind of GI problems, loose stools, constipation, things like that, that indicates that you have a leaky gut, which can cause long-term effects later on to your brain. If you have mold in your house, car, or workplace, that also would lead to type 3 Alzheimer's. If you eat processed or non-organic foods, same thing. You don't want to eat anything that has a label on it that has to tell you what's in it. That's an issue. If you've had a tick bite, that can lead to Lyme disease, so you want to make sure that you are aware of that. And we're going to go over specific strategies on what you can do for each of these in future episodes. And here, once again, they mentioned the proton pump inhibitors. If you use makeup, hairspray, or antiperspirant, that can have some toxins. There's a specific website you can go to make sure that the things that you're using are safe, and I will give that to you next episode. If you don't sweat much, that's a bad sign because that's a good way to get out toxins. If you've been constipated, once again, that's bad because you're not getting out the toxins. And if you don't drink enough water, that is an issue because you need to get the toxins out any way you can, and one of the best ways to do that as well is through being hydrated. Now, I knew it was going to be hard to get all that in there, but those are the things that we're looking out for, and don't panic if you had some or all of those risk factors. I mean, some of those, like the homocysteine levels and stuff, I know you're not going to know for sure until you get the lab test done, which is what we're going to talk about tomorrow in the next episode. So I just I'm thankful that you are being proactive with your health. You're listening. You're getting this information. You're researching. If it's for yourself or for a loved one, it's just so important that we get together as a community and help each other, because there is a solution to this now, and you're a part of it.